You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, yes. Brayden and Davey here. You can already hear. I'm still beat up. I'm destroyed. I'm smashed up. I've been eliminated. I've been locked in. But nothing can stop us from being your NXT friends.
Friends. Yes. It's been a long weekend. Keep it down.
Oh, please. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. This is going to be
It's been a long weekend. We had a great time. We locked in on Saturday. We went to the chamber. We were singing, we were cheering, we were chanting, we were crying at the heel turn of John Cena. And then I've been straight back to work since then. I recorded Rewind Raw last night with Wei. You've been recovering as well. We are feeling a little worse for wear today, but we are still here because it is Tuesday. It is 10:05 p.m. and we have NXT to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, my voice completely shot. I can't tell if it was from the wrestling karaoke that we did pre-Elimination Chamber or the screaming that took place during. So I'll try to be quick. I'll try to be thorough, quick, and hopefully my voice doesn't give out on me. But, oh, man, like I've had 2 days. Where I'm just saying I've been hydrating, hot tea, soup, water, Gatorades, nothing. Nothing's helping me. I'm just feeling like my body is giving up. So I am, in fact, eliminated from the Elimination Chamber. It is eliminated me from life this week. So, oh, boy, I'm here and I'm still in one piece, but barely.
We are, yes. I think we're going to try, whenever we say this, we still go long, but we're going to try to have a bit of a shorter show today. So let's get some of the plugs out the way to start with. We are Poison Rana. We are here every Tuesday on the Post Wrestling feed talking about NXT, but we do so much more than that. You can find us on Sundays on youtube.com/@PoisonRanaPod. Where unless there's a pay-per-view like this weekend with AEW Revolution, we normally talk about all the news that has gone on in the week in pro wrestling. We did have a bit of a wild Snap Rana this Sunday slash Saturday where you heard our live reactions, our live thoughts, our slightly drunk thoughts about Elimination Chamber this week, and you can listen to that absolutely free. I believe we repeated ourselves a lot. I believe we didn't even talk about the whole show, but you certainly get to feel our energy and how much we did enjoy Saturday's chamber event at the Rogers Center.
We've never done this before. Now, my Humber broadcasting degree never trained me for recording a very intoxicated podcast. And you know what? I thought about it while doing it. I thought about it afterwards. And the response that we got from mostly just of our close friends who were like, you guys were on one last night. But it made everyone laugh. And Davey, what do we do this for? We like to have some laughs. So I chose to keep it up. I did not listen back. I'm kind of horrified, but
I'm never going to listen to it back. I believe partway through someone's trying to get into the bar. So we have to pause so I can like let them in and stuff. But it's a fun show. You definitely, as I said, it might not have been our best, deepest, thorough, critical review of a wrestling show. But I think you certainly got our kind of energy and how much we did love Elimination Chamber from this Saturday. And that certainly came across. And I think listening to that review and then listening to this review, you can understand why we might be sounding the way we're sounding.
Yes, absolutely. If you go and listen to this, search Poison Rana, give us a follow if you haven't already. Check this show out, have a laugh, and let us know what we said or what we didn't say, because I definitely don't remember much, and that's why I'm feeling it here today. But we know we had a good time, and I got to shout out anyone in the Poison Rana community, the postmarks out there that we got to see this weekend in the city. Like, man, me and Davey, we've been doing these wrestling parties in the city for a while now, and we have built such a community, and like the same people come through to all of our events. They there support, and we had such a fun party. This was my all time favorite event that we've ever done, like nonstop. I know some of the boys were missing, some of the crew were missing, but you were there in spirit. So anywhere in the world you are, you were locked in with us in Toronto. So I got to shout out all the people, because it was so much fun. Whether it was the pre-show with the wrestling karaoke or the folk icon Ivan Rivers dropping some wrestling covers live, including some surprise songs that we didn't know he was going to do. But man, it was so much fun. And just a rotating door of so many different people coming in and out, stopping by for a quick Poison Rana or a Samoan Spike, and then heading over to the chamber. And then it was just wild. And the city totally came alive. And I've kind of said before that maybe we won't get a Mania here in the six in Toronto in the near future, but this was our WrestleMania, so we made the most of it, and it was an absolute blast. And that was just seeing people and connecting. And you know, wrestling is this weird, not so niche thing anymore, but weird thing that brings people together. And it is my favorite part about watching wrestling and being a fan is connecting through this podcast, through our parties, and through the events. So the love is real. Worldwide. I had such a fantastic day on Saturday, and that is why I have no voice here today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't be happier with how the lock-in went. I thought we threw such a fun event. I know the bar was happy with it. The staff were happy. Our patrons were happy. Everyone was happy. We had such a great time, and we're looking forward to doing it all again. But yes, we are Poison Rana. We also have a Patreon. If you listen to us on Tuesdays and you think, hey, I like those guys, I want to support them, you can. And there are many ways to support us. Super chats are open right now. So if you have a comment, if you want to leave a super chat, if it's like, hey, those guys sound like they need cough medicine, send us a few bucks our way and we can buy that. So we appreciate your support. But the best way to support us is by going to patreon.com/poisonrana. We put out a bunch of shows in the last month. WWE did return to the Rogers Center to the Sky Dome on Saturday, and we thought it was the perfect opportunity to review the last time they were there in 2002 for WrestleMania 18.
Oh, yes. We have never looked at this show, but we looked front to back. We watched, gave our thoughts from 2002. We looked back what was going on in the world, not just WrestleMania, but everything else, plus the epic icon v. icon, Hogan versus Rock. It was such a match, such a moment, and we got to talk all about it, give our thoughts and reviews and some deep trivia and facts of that match about like over 20 years ago. And then here we have the Dwayne back in the dome, back in the Rogers Center here, making history one more time. So this was a fantastic show to go back and look forward to. We're here in WrestleMania season. This was a great show. The Champ Is Here is another show that we've been doing. We've been up to episode 6, and we've been going through the title reigns of John Cena. And I don't know about you, Davey, but I think the show is canceled now, actually. I can't support this man anymore. It is completely over. Or did we work ourselves into the best shoot possible? Because this show now has a purpose, because we might get to 17 far closer than we anticipated, at least for this podcast series. But you get those shows plus all these other shows that we've been doing, and it's only $5. So patreon.com/poisonrana. It's so easy to access, connects to your podcast apps. And we do tons of shows, and like, not to toot our own horn here, but those are some bangers. And we got some more coming up this WrestleMania season that we may or may not let you know what's coming up. But more Champ Is Here coming soon, and possibly, quite possibly, a best match ever, Triple H. Oh, boy.
Yes, we're putting together the April schedule, the March/April schedule. Triple H going to the Hall of Fame, we thought it would be a great opportunity to look at his greatest matches of his career. And also WrestleMania returning to Vegas, we thought it would be a good opportunity to talk all about good old JR in a toga from WrestleMania 9. So that's coming up. But this week we have on the Patreon feed, we did have the Oscars take place this Sunday. And we've done this before. We don't do this every year. We kind of pick and choose if we're going to review the best picture. Normally it's like, look, if it's a 4-hour film about
I'm not watching The Brutalist,
we're probably not reviewing it. However, if it's a 2-hour, 19-minute film about a sex worker who falls in love with a Russian gangster or whatever, we'll talk about that one. So, yes, this week we've both watched this film already. We're going to be watching it again tomorrow and talking all about it. Anora, which kind of swept the Oscars this year. Fantastic film. It is actually world like sex workers Labor Day today, so it kind of all comes together this week. We are talking about Anora, Mikey Madison winning Best Actress. It won Best Picture, Best Screenplay, I believe. Did very well at the Oscars. Really enjoyable movie. So I think there's a lot of conversation we can have with this one, and we'll be talking all about that tomorrow to put out on the Patreon feed.
It was honestly, my two favorite movies were probably Anora and The Substance. So I was really rooting for Demi Moore, and having the Mikey Madison, the name of the girl who plays Anora, have her beating Demi Moore for the Oscar was kind of the plot of The Substance in a way. So kind of funny how life imitates art or whatnot. But I genuinely love this movie. So we will going to be chatting about it over on the Patreon and possibly some other Oscar stuff and everything. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that. So you movie fans, that's definitely one for you guys. PoisonRana.ca for all the links of all the stuff that we do, because we're behind on a few behind the BDEs. So we're going to have to get one out soon, and it's probably going to be a little wild. Hopefully my voice is better by then. But yes, PoisonRana.ca.
Yes, world champs, we love you, we see you, we hear you, we will be releasing, we'll try and drop a couple in a month for you. This whole weekend kind of just screwed our regular recording schedule out. Certainly with our voices going, there's been only so much we've been able to do. So we have a few IOUs, we're aware, we apologize. We hope we're still giving you enough content that you can enjoy. And also get your picks in. If you are one of our family member patrons, one of our world champion patrons, and you haven't submitted your up yours, please do, because we want to get through a few of them. I know Justin just picked Hot Fuzz, which will be coming up in the next month or so.
Okay.
And we've got some other cool picks along the way. So, world champs, if you're listening, message us. If you've already told us what it is, tell us again. Our memories aren't the best at times. So please let us know again, and we will certainly be getting through some of these reviews.
Yeah, we've been doing tons of different podcasts, and lots to more coming in this WrestleMania season. And we love doing the picks. We just did Godfather Part 2, and a movie that's like some would say is almost up there, the best of the best, as selected by Brandon from New Jersey. So we've been all over the place with our movie reviews and our wrestling. So again, $5 is how you can support us and hear all the other content that we do. Yeah, but kind of maybe before also some NXT. Again, shout out anyone who showed up to our event. It was awesome to see you. We didn't didn't have the soul in our body to make it to Buffalo for Monday night, but you got to chat with Mr. Ting here on Post Wrestling. So that's awesome. Some synergy there with the Post Wrestling Poison Rana world, but a few days removed from Elimination Chamber, what some would say the biggest turn in WWE history, you know, because Hogan was WCW, so it's different. Doesn't count. This is the biggest turn in WWE history. I would put my foot down and say that is it, because for the last few days, I can't avoid it. It is in all the, like, news have been reporting it. Sports centers have been reporting it. My favorite silly meme pages are posting about it. I don't know about you, but I'm obsessed with these John Cena memes. The John Cena turns heel memes, send them all. Keep fuck them kids, bro. Send them all. I love them so much. But Triple H had like a little red button, you know, press if WrestleMania 41 Road 2 isn't going the way people are, you know, wanting it to. All right, well, fuck it. And then he pushed it. And here we are, because it seems to get people a lot more excited for what's going on with WWE right now.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it was such a great moment to happen. I'm really excited to see what this heel Cena is going to look like. Are we going to get new music? Are we going to get new gear? I mean, I completely expect him in the suits. What is he going to look like wrestling? I think this is such a great move, though. I like that we're now. You could have just done the babyface v babyface, and I don't think it would have worked quite as well. I think when you did the Cena and Roman feud, when it was like passing the torch, if you will, Roman had enough haters that John Cena could target that. Very similarly to when Cena faced The Rock, Cena had enough haters where The Rock could target that, and you could have these spiky promos. Cody, I'd say 95% of people love this guy. So I don't know what a babyface v babyface match would have looked like. And I think this just makes it mean so much more. I think it stacks all the odds against Cody. We had the last 2 years, the odds stacked against Cody, and that made it just such a compelling main event. And I think this year they've achieved it. Now it's basically TKO versus Cody Rhodes. It's The Rock. Mm-hmm. It's Cena against Cody. Are we going to see any others join this group down the line? I don't know, but I think that anticipation for Cena's first time talking when he comes back, I believe he's advertised for a couple of weeks away or something. That's going to be huge. I thought it was such a bold move, but a smart move as well. And I think it just makes this whole WrestleMania season, this whole build, so exciting moving forward.
You say it's like it's such a bold move. It is. Like, we know he's going to retire as a babyface. As soon as this kind of story arc is over, he eventually has to be like, hey, I'm sorry about that. I had to go through it. Or I'm sorry. I just, you know, I had to do it one time just to see how it was, essentially. But like, he's got to retire as the franchise John Cena, the Babe Ruth, you know, like the good guy that we, the Superman.
Yeah, you can do this through to SummerSlam, September, that kind of thing, and have the turn for the end of the year. I think you need to have fun with it for a couple of months, but eventually, and I think it also plays very nicely into this losing streak Cena's had for the last few years now, where it kind of makes sense, where it's now, yeah, he's not ready to let go of that torch. He wants that last main event. He wants that last world title. I think it is kind of whether it, I'd be very curious, and Wei and I talked about this a little bit last night on the show, when this came about, when they decided this is the route they were going to go, because there've been a lot of, like, you could retroactively look back and see hints, whether those hints were to set up for this or whether that's a narrative we can very easily put together after the fact. It doesn't matter. I think it's been so cool to watch, and I would love to hear the behind the scenes story when it eventually comes out.
I love seeing the behind the scenes clip Triple H posted. Again, they're breaking kayfabe, but it's okay. Travis Scott just seemed like over the moon here. Like he was going wild. He's like, that was insane. Like he's talking about, if you haven't seen the video, just Triple H posted on his Twitter, I think today, and is just backstage in Gorilla after like it all went down, and he's going crazy. Like, wow, I get it now. Like, 50, you know, 40,000 people screaming and like, wow, we're the bad guys. And like saying, oh,
now I'm let's get you to a PC, Travis, and learn a working punch. How about we work on that next?
Well, he did say that, I'm gonna get a ring in every one of my houses. Every one of my cribs is getting a ring tomorrow. So I do suspect we will see him wrestle in, you know, the next year or so. SummerSlam.
Yes.
Maybe not Mania, but.
Have you heard the news about Cody's eardrum?
Have you heard? I could still hear the smack. Like, yeah. That was a big ass smack. We all were talking about that after. Like, man, that guy really smacked him. And we haven't seen Cody. He's advertised for SmackDown, so we'll see what the repercussions to the possible eardrum or what the black eye or something. What something Meltzer was reporting, but like. Watching the smack, he smacks him. Like, he really did hit him in the head. So maybe it was, or maybe it's just wrestling and it's like, yeah. But Travis, watch out, because WrestleMania in Vegas, I'm sure there is going to be a receipt.
I could certainly see a tag match down the line. Yeah. Like, you know, Cody and someone against Cena and Travis or something Bad along Bunny. Those lines. Yeah, for sure. Why not? But... Yeah.
Drake was watching.
It is one of those weird things, though, where it's we are going to be watching this clip back in 20 years' time and go, why is that guy in the corner? Who is he? What's he doing?
I love it, though. I like, yeah, he's a pretty big deal. I've always messed with his music before. It's hilarious that, like, of all the people, he's the one. Like, you don't see, like, actors. Like, you never saw, like, Robert De Niro getting in. It's these musicians lately. Mm-hmm. They see how well Bad Bunny got trained that maybe Drake was watching this front row like, oh, maybe I should have just gotten involved in fake fighting instead of whatever I got involved in, because this looks like a whole lot more fun. But crazy that, like, yeah, the image is The Rock, Cena, and Travis Scott. It's like, what the fuck? How did we get here, essentially? So we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see, because I would love to hear John Cena's first, like, rebuttal. And maybe even before we hear what John Cena has to say, you know what, something that would just skyrocket Cena into like super heel level. I mean, he already is just from what he did, but I don't know when, and I don't know how, but before WrestleMania, I need to see John Cena absolutely beat the ever living shit out of R-Truth on WWE programming, because that would be like, whoa, that's a dick move, man. This guy loves you.
Yeah. So yeah, wow. I think you've got to. I think that's set up perfectly. The other little touch I loved about it is the, you know, heel Cena early in his career, Doctor of Thugonomics and all that, and as a babyface, would use the chain as like as his brass knuckles weapon. Would be the chain as his weapon. Now it's a gold Rolex, and it just shows, like, yeah, the corporate.
Wasn't that Cody's Rolex, right?
Corporate John. I believe so, yeah.
Like, I assume that was Cody's that he was wearing. Mm. That's the one The Rock gave him, or likewise, or like whatever. It's
It was Dusty's Rolex that pawned to send Cody to wrestling school, right?
I mean, this instantly adds a little flair to, like, well, actually, speaking of that word, flair, I mean, he's maybe not someone who likes this direction, because he's maybe under the assumption that Cena wins the 17th time. And I think wrestling fans worldwide are more than okay with John Cena taking Ric Flair's title. Like, the 17 should be John's. If anyone's going to take that from Ric and have more titles than Ric, then it's got to be John Cena. And I feel like most people would instantly be like, yeah, you know what? That I'd be okay with that one. And it might not happen at WrestleMania, but having Ric Flair alluded to or you know, brought up in this feud will be something we see, because if John beats Cody at Mania, he will break Ric Flair's record. So it's not wild to say maybe you see a Ric Flair appearance in this road too. Some maybe Ric Flair gets the shit beat out of him too. John's like, yeah, I'm going to take your soul and your title victories and beat that. But yeah, just like, it adds so much refreshing to this. And like, John, like, you're going out in a little while. Why not do it while you can? And like, you can make up those Make-A-Wish things after WrestleMania. You just create a list, start a tab, IOUs, and then when Mania rolls around, you'll be like, oh, sorry, I can't. I got to go make all these wishes. So I love it. It was not only something special, but something that I've watched back like,
oh yeah,
five times, which I don't want. I would rarely watch a promo segment back like that many times, but also being there was like something like so special, because now I'm walking around the house doing the Rock's throat cut. That's my new thing. What did he do? What's the thing with the fingers? Is he saying there's a third member? Then he like threw it in the air. I was like, this guy's.
Well, I thought some people are saying at Bad Blood, he was going.
He did the three.
Three.
Well, John Cena.
John Cena's three.
Yeah.
But he did kind of count it down, didn't he? One, two, three. And it looked like he went two for this one. I have my theory that it could be Randy Orton for SummerSlam. That you could do Randy, Cody, and it then you've got this kind of group of it. It is these old timers who aren't ready to let go,
right?
Moving forward, but I don't know. But the intrigue's there. Obviously, there can always be an element of making it up as you go along. But if that's something we want to call back, sure. That three could have just meant the John Cena pose, or it could mean three men. I don't know.
I loved it. The execution. One of my favorite WWE. Moments. Again, I've been to like hundreds of shows, but it just felt that specific moment in time. I can just like feel it. It was so good. So they really got me with that. And maybe it was those ugly socks. John Cena's like, you want me to wear these? Fuck that. Fuck them kids. I'm turning heel. I'm wearing the suits. I'm wearing new gear. Maybe he uses Bad Bad Man from his album as a theme song, or maybe we get a Travis Scott theme song. I would like to hear John rap one more time, but maybe that would be what a baby face would do. So I'm all in for this John Cena. This is a way more interesting John Cena retirement tour thus far than we thought it was going to be. So as I told you on Saturday, cause you bought the Blue Jays John Cena, like variant shirt. Yeah. Wrap that shit up and sell it in 10 years for like probably a lot of fucking money.
Anyone I bought the red one as well, which I wasn't going to, I was going to give away as a prize one day, but I think I'm just going to leave that one untouched.
Anyone going to this tour, buy a Cena shirt and don't wear it. And instant money. I mean, not instant, in about 10 years, probably worth a whole lot of money. Just collectible item right there, including that card. And I'm not much of a trader or like collectible kind of person, but they released the Rock, Travis Scott, John Cena, like three triple threat autograph tops card, which I think must go down as one of the biggest collectible cards instantly. Like, that's insane to have all three on the same card. So if you win that, you're rich. You're a rich person. Yeah. And then I know you caught Raw, but I thought Punk's promo was fire. I loved it. And that can, you're talking about like, hey, maybe Randy Orton get involved. Like, you get Punk involved in the next year or so. Like, he's one of those other big guns that he fights the good fight. Like, him and Cody was the match we all thought we wanted to see, but them together is something I think even more. But I really love the fire in CM Punk's promo on Monday Night Raw. I thought it was one of his best in a long, long time.
Absolutely. And there's always been that history with him and Dwayne as well. So I think that was great. The one line that did stand out to me, though, is when he's talking about The Rock with his fake belt. And I'm like, I watched the last few months of your AEW run, Phil, and pretty sure you were walking around with a fake belt there. But that aside, I love openings of shows like that where it's just a fiery promo to kick things off. And I think you're seeing a lot of stronger promos across the board in WWE now. And I think when you've got people like Punk, when you've got people like Drew, and you know what, in recent times Seth has pulled them out when he's needed to, I would hope that elevates everyone else around them, you know, that the younger talents are seeing that and want to get to that level, and you know, maybe moving a little away from the scripted promos. Like, absolutely have scripting, have bullet points, but it's, you can tell when it sounds real and it doesn't sound just verbiage and catchphrases and that kind of thing. Punk has always been one of the best at that. His WWE run has been a little bit kind of 60% CM Punk at times, which is 60% CM Punk is still better than most promos in pro wrestling, but they have felt a bit muted at times from what we know of him. And this felt like the, you know, shooting from the hip CM Punk that we all know and love.
Yeah, no, I thought that sets up so much. Whether we're, like, they've announced Seth and Punk in the cage. Mm. But like, we still need Roman to come back. We still need, I do think that is a triple threat. He did say, like, you stole this main event from me this year, but I'll get it back. Meaning, telling me, like, yeah, I'm probably not main eventing one of these nights.
And I think that's fine. I think it means more. I've always liked that. Like, we've seen it with, you know, Naito in New Japan, where he didn't win the title at Wrestle Kingdom right away. That was a long, like, years build. We saw it with Cody, 39 through to 40. It means so much more now when it doesn't seem like, you know, this guy would have main evented last year if he didn't get injured. Well, he would have main evented this year. Like, it makes him work for it. It makes that objective mean more and more. So I think that's a great thing. As long as he can stay healthy and not get hurt, I do see next year's WrestleMania being, you know, Punk, Cody, or whatever route you want to go. I do think he'll get his main event next year.
Like, think, like, really, we should go to Rock versus Cody, but, like, we might not be able to in a year, two, 3 years. Like, you know, the Rock's getting up there and everything. He doesn't look it. He looks like an absolute mountain, but, like, he has said in that press conference, like, oh, it doesn't need to be a match between me and Cody, meaning because, like, hey, Cena's going to have that match. But, like, that still feels like a big one if you go to
I think as well, like, you've got clear plans. Like, you know, they're planning out these manias way ahead. You're seeing the beats a lot more than you used to. But I think there's also a willingness to go with the crowd and which way they're going. Someone like Jey Uso got way over this year, and you know, maybe a Punk versus Gunther match was thought about at one point, but then you had Jey Uso catching fire. You're seeing how that merchandise is going. He's not a spring chicken, but he's still like got a few years left in him, and it might be, you know what, we can make another guy, we could make another star this WrestleMania, so let's go with that. So I like the fluidity of it that we've seen, where you're not, we had it with Cody last year, where you're not really necessarily going with your fixed plans if something else comes up that seems more organic along the way.
Yeah, no, it totally feels right with that. And there's so many different pieces, and especially with the Cena-Cody thing, like, why not go with someone who's really over right now? His shirt, they did the Raptors Jey Uso shirt here. It sold out. Like, everyone online is now selling and asking, and it's like, crazy. Just, and I know it's because they had the Raptors like tie-in, but that was a Jey Uso, you know, crossover thing, and like, he seemed super popular. Everyone's yeeting and everything. Like, it makes total sense. And there's still so many other pieces with WrestleMania, including the women's. I got to shout out Io Sky, who always gets me high, and winning the title from Rhea Ripley, sort of clean because of Bianca Belair, which kind of thinks they're going to the triple threat, which I think a lot of people would say that. So like, that sounds like an awesome match for WrestleMania. We kind of, hey, what if Bianca versus Rhea was the singles match, then it would leave Io out and vice versa. So I do think that's the best possible direction. And I think we'd get a great like matchup and some stories going into that. So yeah, there's like, that could be a main event for some people. Like, that's a big one, right? So there's a few options with two nights this year. It just, everything seems big. Everything seems like guns blazing. So yeah, I do think they're doing a good job with this WrestleMania build thus far. We're like a week, a month, April 20th?
Yeah, about five, six weeks away.
Yeah. 420. And if you're listening in the Toronto area, we haven't announced yet, but if you want to watch WrestleMania with the BDE, we will be throwing a little party as we always do. So follow the socials for updates. But yeah, I'm excited. All it took was John Cena's evil boo-boo face. I'm in. I love wrestling again. That was it. Put that on I love the graphic they used for the Cody match. It's
I howled when I saw that yesterday.
I laughed out loud at that. Like,
yes. It looked Photoshopped, didn't it? Yeah. It didn't look like the official. I mean, I'm sure we'll get a new render once we see how Cena's going to look, but choosing that picture was just hilarious.
He needs to take all his photos now like this. Just the mean Cena. Yeah, I'm interested to see the whole look, the song choice, whatever we're doing with John Cena going forward right now. I'm all in. Sounds great. There we go. There was our Chamber/Raw chat. Yes. another thing right now. Have you stocked up on your American
I do not want to talk about this at all. Let's talk about it. I don't find it funny, Braden. I don't think it's a good time we're living in. I'd rather just talk about some dumb wrestling.
All right. Well, tell your king to step up. What the fuck's he doing?
Let's get into it.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from Post Wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/postwrestling.
All right, well, we're on the road to roadblock. Let that sink in. The road to roadblock. Next week, NXT Roadblock from the Madison Square Garden Theater will be taking place, but tonight it is the final stop before that, and Roadblock is the final stop before we get to Stand and Deliver, which is 3 p.m. Eastern
yes,
time
3 p.m.
For those. So they did announce that there, and a lot of people online are like, oh, wait a second, that doesn't give a lot of time for... Yeah, it doesn't at all. Well, we're talking about NXT from Tuesday, March 4th, 2025, and we have a recap of everything that's been going on with NXT and some of the matches that we have set up here tonight, and we have a guest ring announcer. Lillian Garcia is here. Mm-hmm. I guess Mike Rome had the night off here, but Lillian is here giving me some throwbacks.
Did I think I saw he, didn't he just get engaged or had a baby or something like that? I think he's, yeah, I think I saw him announce online that he might have just become a father, but
whatever
I
it is, Mike, we love
lying. Also,
hopefully, yeah, you're just going off vacation, but whatever it is, yeah. Enjoy it. Well, we kick things off here with NXT with a matchup that was set up last week. Chelsea Green, the U.S. champion, and Piper Niven taking on Zarya and Sol Ruka, the Soul Crushers. And we see these two start off with Sol Ruka in the ring with Chelsea Green. And Green is like getting in Sol's face here and slaps her, which pisses off Sol Ruka, who hits her with an X Factor. Looked really nice. They both tag in their partners. So now we're getting Zarya and Piper, who are both the bigger women of the teams, and they have a bit of test of strength. And we see Zarya kind of getting the best of Piper here. Eventually, both of them are sent to the outside, and Sol does this huge crossbody to the outside onto everyone. And then Niven does like a tope con hilo off the apron onto everyone as we go into commercial break. At this point, Booker T was singing, and I didn't catch the name of the song. Vic Joseph's like, oh, yeah, yeah, we know you love that song. So I was like, damn, what was it? When we come back, during Picture in Picture, there is a Samoan drop. There is a beatdown on Sol Ruka as Chelsea and Piper tag in and out. When we come back, there is USA chants and pledge the allegiance to the flag of Chelsea as she's letting that all soak in. Eventually, though, Sol does make the hot tag to Zarya. She hits Germans on Green, Germans and a lariat to Niven, and then a spear to both of them, and then a senton throwing Chelsea onto Niven there, and then picking up I think Chelsea on her shoulders. But at this point, Chelsea's face is completely bloody and smashed.
Yeah, blood from the nose there.
I'm not quite sure what move it was that did this, but Chelsea is pretty bloody. Eventually, she has Piper up on her shoulders here, and Sol jumps off the top rope, and it's like a electric chair moonsault doomsday device from Sol and Zarya. Very nice here.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that before. That looked pretty crazy. Yeah.
However, it's broken up, and then Niven goes to break up the pin, but Zarya moves. So then Niven accidentally splashes Green. So she's laid out. And then Zarya picks up Piper and hits her with a pretty impressive looking F5. But she F5s Piper onto Green, which is even like adding more damage here, and then picks up the win. So the Soul Crushers defeat Chelsea Green and Piper Niven here on NXT. My new favorite tag team, the Soul Crushers. I need Soul and Zarya versus Fraxium like soon. I know we will never get that, but this is slowly becoming my favorite tag team. This is a pretty fun match, especially the last stretch there. It got really cooking.
Yeah, some really fun kind of innovative tag moves from Zarya and Soul. I think their best showing so far as a team. I love the F5 on Piper. We kind of talked about that last week, that's possibly why you're going to do a match like this, so you can really show off Zarya's strength. Surprised Chelsea taking the pin here, seeing that she is the US champion. I thought Piper was definitely going to be the pin eater here. Maybe sets up for Soul and Chelsea for a North American title match down the line. Sorry, a US title match down the line, perhaps. There was a segment on .com released just after the show where Robert Stone basically is talking to Chelsea because she used to be part of the Robert Stone brand, and said that the match wasn't cleared with him and it was something that Ava or Stevie made, and therefore this loss doesn't count and doesn't count against her reign, or he's trying to make it disappear, this thing. So, but yeah, I thought pretty fun match.
Yeah, it had some like really, I think the team of Zarya and Soul, they really gel together, like one being the powerhouse and one being the like jumping flippy. Cause I should mention, I think they hit Zarya hit the F5, but then Soul did hit her with the Soul Snatcher as well. So like,
yeah, it was the F5 onto Chelsea. So Piper landing on Chelsea and then the Soul Snatcher.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I thought this was pretty fun. And yeah, maybe we get a title match down the line, but it's weird. They create the IC title and the US title on the main roster and then still don't know how to fit these, like, properly book it. I feel like Chelsea, it's working way better with Chelsea than it is with Lyra right now.
Yeah, but I kind of talked with Way about this last night on Rewinder Raw. I feel they're really trying to establish the Intercontinental title as the workhorse title. And you saw that with Ivy Nile and Lyra last night, who had a pretty good match. But I think a lot of the wrestlers they've put in that division are ones that their character hasn't necessarily been established, and they're trying to get them to get over based on their matches alone. Whereas maybe this US title is more of a character-driven title that you can have your big, more comedic acts like a Chelsea Green go for.
Because if Chelsea and Piper were the champions, tag champions meaning, then like this story would be about those titles, and then you could book a rematch or something. It just feels weird that you would have Chelsea lose after becoming this time. She is more of like a comedy character, so it does kind of add to that all the time. But
I think you can have Soul versus Chelsea on an episode of NXT, and Chelsea gets a win back for sure.
Yeah. We go to earlier in the day, Ava, our GM, the NXT final boss, I should say, is with Jordynne Grace, our newest superstar here. And Cora Jade comes in and says that she's going to win the Knockouts title in TNA Wrestling at Sacrifice. And then when I win it, I'm going to take that title even further than you ever did, Jordynne Grace. And Jordan's pretty upset by this and says, oh, yeah, well, the day you win the Knockouts title is the day I retire. And Cora says, yeah, well, you better start packing. And they start to bicker and get in each other's faces. And Ava says, this match will now take place tonight. So, yes, Jordynne versus Grace. And we will talk about that in a little bit and what happened during that match.
I do quite like how they've been doing this a bit more recently, where they've been announcing these matches throughout the day, but with little videos. We had the same with, I think, the announcement of Ethan Page and Javon, which is taking place next week. They announced during the day online as well. Just builds up some buzz for your show during the day.
Absolutely. It's way better to know kind of what you have coming up, I think, like on your show. Like sometimes they don't necessarily tell us some, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. But
more just a match graphic, you know, having this little like segment in an office that they show during the day on Twitter and then replaying. I think it's good.
Well, we go to our next match. Jada Parker versus Kalani Jordan. These two have been getting each other's faces.
We had Trick Williams backstage first.
Oh, right. Sorry. Evil Trick.
Dick.
Yes. Trick the Dick is arguing with Ava backstage, and he's asking about how he wants to face Eddie Thorpe. And he's like, anytime, any place, come on, just give me the match with Eddie. When Uriah and Kale chase you adjacent, I guess I can call them. I don't really know who they are, but we've seen them the past few weeks. They're nice guys. Let's go with that. The frat guys. They're nice frat guys, though. They say, hey, Ava, we know you got a new office, so we got you this like little package here with like office supplies. It looked not a very great package of stuff, to be honest. And Trick is like, not now. She's busy. So take your little silly package and get out of here, and kind of shoves it. And they're a little upset by this. And he gets in their face even more aggressive. And yes, Trick turns into a bit of a dick here. And he says, go away. Come back later. Go bother Andre Chase. And they say, what did you just say? Go bother Andre Chase. Kale Dixon says, yeah, Trick, well, you're actually the reason that Chase, you put up the university in the first place. So like, it's all your fault. And Trick shoves him against the wall and says, I ain't playing with your punk ass. So this match is also made official tonight. Trick versus Kale Dixon.
Yeah, I'm liking this new side of Trick, showing something we haven't seen from him before. He has been a heel before, but more of the comedic lackey. So now I wouldn't say he's turned heel yet. He's still definitely the babyface in this feud against Eddie Thorpe. But he's being a dick, and he's been a dick for a couple of weeks now. And I'd be interested after this NXT Underground match, which was announced later in the show, be interested to see whether, you know, he's got rid of that. Like, he's got his win back over Eddie Thorpe, and he moves back to how he was because, like, he's got that win back, or whether he continues more this dickish character.
Yeah, it's almost a little, like, it feels a little forced because we've seen him be the good guy. And even when he was a bad guy, he didn't act like this, right? He acted a bit more like goofy, right?
But think when he, like, from a character perspective, when he was the bad guy before, he was right out of the PC. He was green. Like, now he's a 2-time NXT champion and he's lost that and he's trying to find his way back to it. And he is frustrated. Like, people do act out of frustration. They do become dicks. I know when I'm frustrated, I become a dick. Like, I don't think it's necessarily like just a sudden character change. I think it's kind of justified how he's feeling.
Well, we go to our next match, Jada versus Kalani. And these two have been at each other's faces for quite a while. And like, both kind of good guys, but have a bit of an edge. I guess Jada was more of a heel, but kind of coming to a head here against each other. Booker T, I don't think he was meaning to quote one of the best movies ever, but shout out Mufasa. Remember, always remember who you are. There is a huge lariat here from Kalani as she takes out Parker, and then a very nice looking acai moonsault to the outside. Picture in picture hits, and Jada gets back in control and she starts throwing Lonnie around ringside, just throwing her here. And then like a waist lock. When we come back from break, she hits the teardrop and the high step and goes for a gourd buster. But I don't know if they were trying to block it or something, but she tries to pin her afterwards. But then Kalani comes back with like this modified Russian leg sweep, sliced bread combination thing. I've never seen this.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I like this. Yeah.
Very nice. I think Booker T was like, oh, I've never seen that before. Very nice move. And Vic starts to rub Book here. He's like, hey, you know, that's not as nice as your favorite move, the Stephanie Vaquer move. And Corey Graves is like, hey, Vic, leave him alone. Booker T, live your life. Do what you want, man. You're allowed to love that move if you want to. And Book's like, thank you, Corey, for having my back. In the ring, Kalani comes back with like the guillotine leg drop off the ropes, blocks the inverted suplex, and then hits the Melina style reverse DDT leg drop, but it's only a 2 count. Up top, hits a Spanish fly from Kalani, very nice looking, but not enough to keep her down. However, it's both of them rolling to the outside. Eventually, there's the hypnotic, and then a second one that misses into the steps, leaving her in the ring. Kalani goes for the 450. But Jada moves out of the way again here and then hits the hypnotic, the running butt attack for the 1-2-3. Jada Parker beats Kalani Jordan in a match that I thought had a few missteps in it, but like overall, there was some pretty impressive stuff from both of them, including some of like the innovative moves, but maybe a bit overzealous in some of the spots that they were trying to do.
I'd say that is the case with the NXT women's division a lot of the time. They're very ambitious with stuff they're doing. A lot of them have a gymnastic background, so they're trying to use that and stuff. And honestly, I'd much rather watch people go out there and be ambitious with moves than headlocks and takedowns, you know, that kind of thing. So I got into this. I really like both. I think if this is what they're doing at this early stage of their career and they keep on this trajectory, they're going to be kind of very solid wrestlers on the main roster a year or so from now. So yeah, some of this wasn't the prettiest, but I thought there was some good stuff in here as well.
I still really like both these two, and these like Jada and Kalani should be big stars considering like the wrestling, the characters coming into play. We're still seeing the more attitude of Kalani that's coming out, and like a heel run will eventually definitely bring the most out of her. But I still really enjoy these two, and I do still see big things. I'm just not quite sure what direction. After the match, though, we might get that direction because Jada looks at the camera and says, Stephanie, Julia, I'll be watching next week, and both of you better watch out because I'm coming for those titles. So Jada calling her shot for Stephanie and Julia, or maybe the winner of that. And I mean, we will get a video in a second promoting Stephanie and Julia, so maybe we can throw that into the mix. Jada, meaning, because there has been some stuff reported. We did talk last week about like, hey, why is this match being advertised?
Yeah, so maybe if you want to really keep spoiler free, skip ahead a couple of minutes. But yeah, there have been reports this week that Julia is maybe banged up and needs to take a bit of time off. So could be tipping the direction they're going next week with this title for title match.
We'll definitely talk about it through the video package we'll get. But we go backstage. We see Kelly Kincaid. She is back. And we see she's with Tony D and the family. And Tony D'Angelo welcomes her back. And they have a few questions they ask about Sean Spears and Izzy Dame and the new family, the learning tree, as we call them. And Tony D says that my mother always said, if you don't have anything nice to say about a woman, don't say anything at all. And especially our friends at the CW, who I don't think would like for me to say some of these things. So I won't say anything about Izzy Dame, which, don't worry, Tony, no one on the CW is watching you right now tonight because you were preempted for tomorrow
just in
night.
A couple of states, only in a couple of states. Yeah.
So this is where he says that he knows that his back is in this condition, but he's still going to fight. And Sean Spears, there's only one family in NXT. Yeah.
So yeah, kind of definitely selling the back, to which will lead into the main event there. But yes,
we go to a press conference. Was this held by Dan Matha? Was he here? Is he still?
I'm sure Dan Matha was there. There were many a Dan Matha here.
I know what they were trying. I just always hate these things. They just seem so goofy to me. But Obafemi at a press conference, and I'm using quotations there, maybe, he's asked a few questions. He looks great. He's always looks great, especially with the white and black shirt with the like silver title. Great combination. He calls himself the Nigerian Titan and says that he is ready to take on Moose next week. Someone asks about facing Moose and says, you're both, you know, similar size and like to throw people around. And he says, yeah, we're both similar. Moose is a big man and he's no slouch, but after next week, I'm going to hit Moose so hard, he's going to wish he never left the NFL. So walks off. So Moose versus Oba. And this is, I feel like this way, his promo here was more to get Moose over than it was to get himself over, because I don't think we've heard. I mean, if you followed Moose and knew and everything, you would know he was in the NFL and all that. But like, I don't think they necessarily hit us over the head with that. And I think this was what that was for.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gone, there was no real animosity between the two from both these press conferences. They're both putting over the other guy. They're both billing this as a kind of dream match. It's essentially, hey, I'm Obafemi and I'm the Moose of NXT, and hey, I'm Moose and I'm the Obafemi of TNA. That's kind of how they're billing this thing. And I know what you mean about these press conferences, but I kind of like it to break it up. I do like having different settings for these different things. It can't just always be in the ring face to face the whole time. And I think doing more of a mutual respect angle, I thought this achieved this.
I just like you have Oba doing this, and then later on it cuts to Moose doing the same thing. Mm. I think I would have preferred a face to face. I think I would have preferred like a promo, like against each other. I know we had like sort of in the past, but like, is it because you don't trust like in front of a live audience of how well they will be able to do that? Like, I feel like we could trust Oba by now, and I'm not sure.
Well, schedules, I don't know. Maybe this was filmed last week or something, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So this match is next. We will see. I mean, next week we will hear from Moose in a bit, but more TNA takes over NXTNA here. The Hardy Boys make their way to the Performance Center here in NXT, hot off their win on NXT last week against the No Quarter Catch Crew. In the ring, Jeff Hardy with some braids, looking good. You know, Jeff is looking good. I gotta say, they both are looking pretty good. Maybe they really taking this TNA tag title run seriously, because I did think last week they not only looked good in the ring, but like they looked healthy. If that makes sense,
I feel like they look healthy. I think they see this as a big opportunity for them, yes, as well. You know, if they do want to end their career back in NXT, back in WWE, this is like a let's. Don't fuck it up. Like, let's see what you can do. And having them coming into the developmental brand rather than main roster is a way being like, okay, guys, how serious are you taking this? How serious do you want this? And I do think they've been looking good. They look happy at the moment.
Yeah, they look good. They look healthy, look happy. I do notice that. Matt Hardy says, love Matt Hardy's shoes because it's the same ones I usually wear on my walks. He says that something special is happening here in NXT, and we wanted to witness it firsthand. So we thought we would make our little journey here. Jeff says that he sees the fire in the eyes are alive, and we see the different tag teams here, and we want to see the future of this business when they're interrupted by Hank in Tank, who come out to a sea of boos here. I would have booed them too. Hey, they didn't invite you out here. What are you doing? They get booed quite longer than they thought they were good. They didn't know how to react at first.
I think this is where you see, these people who aren't so used to it. They are young in their careers because Hank and Tank come out, they're playing their usual goofball characters. Yeah. And this crowd with anyone coming out in this segment were, you're not the Hardys, and just booing vociferously to them. And they did look a little taken aback, and you know, they're still doing things like their honk honk, which is, guys, read the room. Like, they ain't honking with you today.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Eventually, the crowd are like, all right. But they are like, hey, we're so sorry to interrupt you. They have to say that a few times because the crowd are still booing. And they say, we just came out here because we wanted to say thank you. Thank you for being, you know, our inspiration, many people's inspirations in this business. And we want your advice. You know, what do we got to do to become great like the Hardy Boys? And what do you think the Hardy Boys would say? Davey, if me and you went up to Hardy Boys, like, Hardy Boys, what does it take to, like, what was it that brought your next level? Because they mentioned in this promo, they're like, oh, you know, since 1998 in WWE. And in my head, I went, I don't know, jump off of fucking ladder. And then Jeff is like,
jump off a ladder.
So Jeff's like, you know, you got to take things to the extreme. It's like, yeah, Hank and Tank, I think we figured out what the Hardys did here. They say you got to take things to the extreme. You got to like rise up at the occasion when they're interrupted by Briggs and Inamora. Inamora sporting not only his new vest from his best friend Briggs, but sporting a WWE logo shirt.
The most generic WWE logo shirt you could think of. Just, yeah.
Yeah. So these two are there, and Briggs is pretty pissed. They're booing them as well because now they're interrupting the interruption. And they're booing him, and Briggs, maybe a bit more used to this. He liked it. He liked getting boos here. He says, what's going on? You know, Hank and Tank, why don't you remove your lips from the Hardy's asses? And Hank and Tank, you want some advice? How about you ask some from us? Stop playing damsel in distress. They won't give you a title shot. And the Hardys are like, well, I don't know. And Hank and Tank say, well, we better listen and go extreme. So they do double topes and then they brawl to leave. And then the camera focuses on Matt Hardy and he says, Fraxium, I knew you'd come, as the camera pans and Fraxium are standing in the ring with the Hardys, and Frazier and Axiom, kind of similar to the last time, say, best tag team of all time versus the best tag team going today. Let's find out who the best are in 7 days. So next week, Fraxium versus Hardys. This was a weird segment, but at the same time, like, we're talking about, like, hey, how, what are some ways to set up some other matches? We're not getting it this week or next week, but I imagine Hank and Tank versus Briggs and Inamora in a barbed wire TLC extreme death match on NXT.
Yeah, I was wondering, and this certainly does sound less than, but we theorized last week that I don't think this Fraxium Hardys match is a one and done, especially with that having happening on Roadblock and Stand and Deliver being so close. Whether they would consider making it a multi-ladder match at Stand and Deliver. And I mean, it would take, you know, the Hardys at this stage in their career, it would take a lot of the pressure off them if there were other bodies who could take some of these crazy bumps. We do often find these Stand and Deliver shows, these WrestleMania weekend shows, they want to get as many people on the card as possible. Last year's Stand and Deliver, I felt, had a lot of kind of multi-man matches, if I remember correctly. So I wonder if this is tipping that maybe we're getting the singles match at Roadblock and then Stand and Deliver might not be the rematch, but more of a four-way tag ladder match.
Yeah, so the titles, it's for the TNA tag titles, right?
TNA,
it's not
yeah.
for the NXT. So, like, you could have Fraxium lose, and then the Hardys go, hey, we beat you, so, like, you owe us a shot. And then, yeah, like, whether we go, I just don't. Yeah, Hardys in a four-way TLC match, absolutely. Hardys in a four-way TLC match with Hank and Tank, maybe might take some convincing. I do love these guys, but you know,
again, it is NXT. It is developmental. You do want these guys to get those reps. And I mean, I guess you'd say, I'd say, who are the other teams? I mean, I guess NQCC are the other team that you maybe favor over these guys, but it's not the deepest of divisions either.
It's like, hey, we're in WWE. We could be doing Machine Guns, DIY, Lucha Bros. Like, there is, like, other Street Profits, you know? Like, while we have the Hardys, maybe they shouldn't be wrestling Briggs and Inamora. Maybe they should be wrestling, like, bigger
guns. I feel like we'll get there. I feel like they will be main roster again before they retire. And you can do those matches down the line.
Okay, so Fraxium Hardys next week. I think if the Hardys should win and then it sets up a rematch. I'm not saying I still do think it should be 2-on-2 ladder match in some capacity, but I do think the Hardys are sticking around for Stand and Deliver. Like, that is seems to be the consensus. And you know what, Hank and Tank, let's see what you got. Can you fly off some ladders? See what you got. Put that helmet on and fly. Let's see.
Yeah, maybe we just get like a tornado tag, no rules match, weeks. Number one contender match or something with the two other teams, perhaps.
Is there any chance Fraxium beat them for the TNA tag titles? Like, would that just crush that? Like,
I mean, you don't really want to see, like, Fraxium have been on such a streak where
you don't want
to
see
them
lose. It would
be a shame to see them lose, even if it isn't a title defense.
Mm-hmm.
I do see them being a team. They have been on TNA. They could eventually drop it again to the Rascals or back to the Hardys or whatever. But yeah, sure. I think it makes more sense if the Hardys win this one and then challenge for the NXT at Stand and Deliver.
Or Fraxium win these ones and then it's both titles on the line at Stand and Deliver. And that's where the Hardys win it back. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But either way, I am really looking forward to Hardys versus Axiom. Fraxium next week. That is like...
I mean, also there is the thing where like the Hardys... Yes, I know it seems ridiculous they're at this stage of their career winning the NXT titles, but also a team with their legacy, it is considered the other WWE tag titles and the only set of tag titles that this team have never won.
Yeah.
So from a legacy point of view, you know, the Hardys having the NXT titles added to them could make sense as well.
It's a little like, hey, while we're here, you know, the Dudleys never won the NXT tag titles. We need to take those.
Yeah, well, Bubba's going off too much about being the team that's won all these titles. Like,
well, speaking of Bubba, next week on NXT in New York City, the cast of LFG, the coaches, The Undertaker, Bubba Ray, Booker T, and Mickie James. Well, we knew Booker T was going to be there, but yes, next week. And if that's not enough, Shawn Michaels has tweeted at The Undertaker, "We have a packed show next week, but I think I can fit some time for you," meaning The Undertaker.
You're saying Undertaker v. Shawn one more time?
One more time in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Theater. Book it. Yes. So look out for The Undertaker. Is he going to, what is he going to, what did he do last time? Just choke slam Carmelo Hayes?
For no reason. Bron Breakker, wasn't it?
Bron Breakker. Yeah, that's right. We get a video for Stephanie Vaquer and Julia for next week. Yes, we didn't see them on screen other than this. So with some of the reports, I don't know if it was Meltzer not saying that Julia is hurt. That could easily be, you know, what happens and where we go with Stephanie possibly taking both these titles next week and then going into Stand and Deliver as a double champion. But this video has clips from Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and a few others here talking about these are two of the best, the biggest signings to WWE this year. And then we see a clip from Julia saying that there is only one room for one beautiful madness. And Stephanie says, yes, but I will show you why I am La Primera. And the announcer says, New York City, title v. title, if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. But definitely looking forward to this. If the reports are true about an injury, I'm sure the match maybe won't get to maybe a level we get at. Maybe it's a blowout. Maybe it's a Brock Lesnar Goldberg situation. All I know is I'm still interested to see what they do. And it is unfortunate if one of them is in fact injured, Julia, especially if that's true. But
yeah, I do want to see. I believe the terminology was banged up, which is, you know, she's healthy enough maybe to go through with the match, but there's things she's got to get addressed, fixed or whatever and stuff. So by the sounds of it, I think we are still getting an actual match rather than an angle. But I do expect Julia to be away once this match is over.
So Stephanie versus Jordynne Grace at Stand and Deliver?
Yeah. Although Jada's called her shot as well.
Right.
So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Coming up this month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, Kate from Montreal and Karen Peterson are getting together for a review of the new film Queen of the Ring, based on the Jeff Lean book. Plus, Rewind Away tackles the 2021 film Dune, Daredevil Born Again, covered by WH Park and Rich Fan. Plus, we've got Collision Course, Post Pro Res, and your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Join now, postwrestlingcafe.com.
Well, speaking of Jordynne Grace, we go to our next match. Jordynne Grace taking on Cora Jade. We see TNA Knockout champion Masha Slamovich in the crowd. Cora's pointing when in her entrance, like shut your mouth. And she's pointing at someone who has a sign that says Cora sucks. And then it takes a few seconds for the camera to then get closer. And then the commentary are like, oh, yeah, it's Masha. It's like, oh, shit, yeah, sorry. I thought you were pointing at the sign because Cora's pointing at the sign that says Cora sucks. And she's like, you shut your mouth. And then I realized, no, she's talking shit to Masha. Oh, right, okay. So Masha's there. Jordynne versus Cora, one-on-one. We have Grace just, like, beating down on Cora here. There's, like, a series of clotheslines, to the front and the back, like clubs, essentially. There's a sidewalk slam, like a flipping facebuster slam. But Cora comes back with this, like, hair pull neck snap that sends Grace into the turnbuckle as we go to picture in picture. And this is where things maybe took a bit of a turn. I noticed Grace hits the world's strongest slam, sort of. But Cora like goes to do her mushroom stomp move, but then stops and then goes for it like a second time and then messes it up and then goes for like a third time here.
First time she like slips on the bottom rope and then she hits it, but like her feet are either side. Like she doesn't make any contact with Jordynne.
Yeah. So it was, it didn't look the greatest. Now this is during picture in picture, but we are in Canada and we are watching on the Netflix like screen. They don't cut away from when the matches are on. And then they start to fight in the corner. And this is where like, she says something to the ref. You could hear her say something like something is fucked or I'm fucked or I'm not sure what she said, but the ref tells Jordynne, like the camera's on Jordynne for quite a while. And then the ref throws the X up, and then the countdown on the Netflix picture-in-picture thing ends. So it's not like they can go to break because they're already in a break. So people like us are seeing this. So it was one of the most awkward looking, you know, unfortunate series of events here with this injury. And I'm watching this assuming after two like messy stomps and then, you know, her history with the knee and the knee braces, right away my brain went, okay, well maybe it's her knees or something. But she has since tweeted saying that like she's okay. So she said that she got a little rocked and that she's fine. So at Cora Jade, got rocked for a sec, but my knees are all good, in brackets, decent. Thanks for the concern.
Yeah, like Netflix does this thing with picture in picture where you can watch it live, but once it's done, they kind of delete it from the show. But I noticed her chatting to the ref and obviously them checking on her, and I was able to rewind it and watch back for those stomps. And it didn't look like anything went with her knees. And she does, after they've awarded Grace the win, she does walk out and doesn't seem to be limping. But you do see when she gets backed into the corner that she sort of like it's almost like the shoulder into the stomach into the corner. So I was wondering if she got winded or something. It sounds like she just, yeah, rocked her head or something and just wasn't all there and they had to end it. But it's good that she's kind of confirmed she's okay. You know, she's already had like her knee injured, what, twice at this point. Another one could be really damaging. So hopefully this is all just a little stinger or something and she's fine moving forward. But was a bit of a scary moment, and it's kind of fascinating in a way watching this happen, because a lot of the time they would just cut to break and being able to watch it going on with the ref talking to her. But it was very unfortunate.
Yeah, no, again, like usually they keep it on Jordan or they keep it on the person, which they did for a while, but then they cut back and then commentary's talking and then they decided, like, clearly someone said like stop talking or they cut that feed. It was very weird. And in WWE, like usually, yeah, they would cut to something. Cut, you know, anything, a commercial, something, when it's something like this. So it was a little awkward. And again, I hope she's okay. But her tweeting saying she is scheduled for Sacrifice in a few weeks with that title match. Like, we'll wonder if that's still something that goes forward. But it was very awkward. And the fact, like, they did not know, I'd say out of, you know, in recent memory, out of all the times they've handled something like this, this one made me feel the most like, ooh, what's going on here? This is very awkward and uncomfortable, and wasn't like a nasty, nasty injury, thankfully. But
I mean, maybe that's why they kept on her, because it was clear like she was talking, she was vocal. And sometimes when there's maybe a fear it's something worse or something ugly, like a broken bone or something, they don't want to focus on it. Whereas, but yeah, hopefully like she'll be good for Sacrifice in a week or so, right?
Yeah, so, you know, all the power to Cora Jade. I hope she's all right. You know, these men and women do all this for our entertainment and can get scary sometimes. So Jordan Grace wins. Therefore, you know, she's got the one-up. If we keep thinking she's going to go to Stand and Deliver, that is still, like, probably the direction. I do believe Jordan Grace was going to win this match anyways, or maybe not. Maybe the case was Roxanne came out to attack her. We don't know, because later on we'll get a video of Roxanne attacking Jordan Grace. I'm going to skip ahead to this just because I think they had to switch things up, because that was probably the plan at the end of the match, because now we have announced Roxanne Perez versus Jordan Grace for next week at Roadblock in New York. And it's because she tried to attack Jordan with the chair backstage and Ava like blocked it off. But that was probably meant to happen at the end of the finish of the match, I imagine.
I would have thought so.
But that match is added, and that sounds pretty good. So I hope you're okay, Cora Jade.
Sorry, that's for next week?
Yes.
Right.
Stacked show. Yeah. How are they going to have time for The Undertaker on the show?
Well, at least he comes out on the bike now. He walks take more a little time. Quicker, doesn't he, than when he's just
he dead. Drives pretty slow. I don't know, dude.
He does drive slow these days.
What do you mean? We saw him running at WrestleMania. Dude was ready. He was booking it. We get a video for Tony D'Angelo, Sean Spears, North American title tonight. Only one family can win in NXT. But we go to another promo, a very promo-heavy picture-in-picture via satellite. promo. Is that the right way here? Where the two separate rooms or separate places, Ethan Page, Javon Evans, and Page says that this all started because Javon Evans decided to come into the ring and give me a pep talk. Yeah. I've worked my whole life. I've worked years trying to get to the WWE. And then this 19-year-old walks into WWE like nothing. And then here he is trying to give me a pep talk about being a father, a husband. Like, no, no, no. That's when I realized I wasn't all ego. I was all soft. So I broke your jaw. And you know what, Javon? If I had a chance to do it again, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Because Ethan Page is the most dangerous that I've ever been. Which is, you know, some truth to that. We were saying when he came to WWE, NXT, he was a little like, you know, PG.
Yeah, I'd be mad if he was talked to me that way. Like if a 19-year-old was like, hey, man, you got this. Like you trying to give me life advice, I'd be.
I thought he really made me see his side here. But I don't know, that wasn't the point. But damn, Ethan Page, I'm kind of like, yo, actually, I'm kind of on your side here. So Javon is sitting there. He's kind of upset. I mean, he can barely still talk.
Javon, his mouth isn't wide shut anymore. He was able to talk here.
But it's still, he's still like, you know.
I mean, he's always mumbled to be fair, but.
But like, he's like selling, like, you know, I'm still, you know, healing essentially. He says that no one's going to be able to hold me down. And when I finally get my hands on you, don't worry, because I won't be, you're not going to take my joy or my smile or nothing. And these two are going to be going at it in a New York City street fight next week. So Javon says there's not going to be rules. There's not going to be anything. And I'm going to get my revenge. So, yeah, looking forward to this matchup. I'd say Roadblock. Like, we'll go through maybe at the end to give our final preview. But I'm looking forward to it. Like, this program specifically, been loving Javon since coming into WWE. But really, Ethan Page is coming into his own as this heel, like, just evil character that I'm really for it.
Yeah, we were surprised it didn't have a gimmick last time. I think of all the matches, this is the one that needs that sort of hardcore street fight thing added. So it makes complete sense. And I hope they pull out all the stops next week.
Yeah, or do we continue this? Or is that to, like, stand and deliver? Where do these guys go in that situation, right? Where would they be going for the North American title for stand and deliver? Maybe multi-man or something like that, but... either way, really looking forward to seeing this match. I saw Ethan Page did tweet or post on Instagram, I forget, but the image of The Rock at Elimination Chamber, he did do Ethan Page smile at the end of that thing with the cutthroat. He did like specifically make it look like a smile. So Ethan Page is like, I'm the third man. Maybe, possibly. That could happen. He was in NXT. He was here. We go to our next match, if you can call it that. Kale Dixon with Uriah Connors comes out, and he is taking on Trick Williams, and Trick the Dick attacks him instantly with the trick shot, beats on him. The ref stops the match instantly. This match went on for like seconds, two ref stoppages in a row here on NXT. Obviously they didn't plan for that first one. So I guess they were like, they still went with it. They still did it.
They had to. This is to set up a underground match where your aim is to knock out or submit someone. Mm-hmm. So and also they weren't going to have a competitive match between Kale Dixon and Trick Williams. I actually really liked it. I thought this is exactly what it needed to be. Trick just taking his head off here.
Nice looking trick shot. Kale sold that really nicely here. After the match, like it was very quick. Eddie is on the perch. Eddie Thorpe. He says, you know, it's all your fault, Trick. If you just didn't cost me the title, I should have been champion, and I should have been the one going to Roadblock as champion, and it should have been me. And says that you want to face me in the underground? Well, we will in 2 weeks. And Trick accepts. So in 2 weeks on NXT, we will be going to the underground. Trick Williams, Eddie Thorpe. So that should be good.
Not on Roadblock, but in two. Roadblock's already stacked, so
you can't fit anything else. No more fitting anything else.
And this can main event that show or open that show or whatever.
Yeah, so we knew that it was going towards this. We'll see. This heel side of Trick is what he needs to defeat Eddie Thorpe. He needs to kill him in this underground match and then maybe cut a promo asking for his title back, because I think the spot we'll see him. This is when we saw Roxanne attacking Jordan Grace backstage and kind of separated, and Ava will announce that there will be that title match. But we see the Moose press conference They go, but let's go back to Moose's. So we don't even see half of his press conference because we just see Moose saying, last question. It's like, oh, cool. We didn't hear any of the first few, but all right, sick. They ask about the NXT title and the importance. Moose says that he took this opportunity and he is a prize fighter and he always fights for the bigger prize. And there is no bigger match than this, and says that next week he will walk out with NXT title and the X Division title, and that he'll make history here. But yes, prize fighter Moose, who I did think was Birdman at a first glance there. A few people online Michael have Keaton? Been pointing out. No, not Michael Keaton, but Drake's dad.
Oh, sort of, okay. Kind of.
Moose, I didn't like this. Like, I would have much preferred one Moose just laying him out, which would give you maybe like a shock of like, whoa, he took out Oba. I just thought, like, you're putting two guys that I don't necessarily think are like heavy, stronger on the promo side. And it just came across like more goofy, like wrestling, like the fake press conference stuff. Then I'm like, I didn't like either of these two.
I personally didn't mind it at all. I think that there's enough kind of heated programs on this. They're going for the respect thing. Moose putting over in this that as soon as this TNA WWE agreement was done, this was the match he wanted. Like, It's two Nigerians against each other. It's two big, agile guys against each other. So I think they're going, more for that respect angle. And I didn't mind it. I thought this broke up the show. I personally like moving around different settings, different locations, different styles of interview. You know, like we had the sit down interview with Javon and Ethan. I didn't have a problem with it personally.
I feel like maybe I didn't get. Yeah, I felt like there's too much of promos and too many of the flippy thing. Like I didn't get I know this is a hype up show for next week, and they did a really good job of some of the other stuff. But I felt like this match is like, hey, you're getting Moose and Oba. We don't really need to do anything else. It's going to be over after the match is over. So, like, This is the feud. It's like, all right, fine. I'm sure the match will be good. But they also cut to, Ava. This is when she kind of mentions the matchups that are added to next week. So she does reference Roxanne Perez versus Jordan Grace in 2 weeks, the Underground match. And then next week, Moose versus Oba. Hardy Boys versus Fraxium, Julia versus Stephanie, title v. title, and Ethan Page versus Javon Evans in a street fight. Oh, and The Undertaker will be seated. So there you go. Your roadblock is set.
You had Toxic Attraction as well at this press
at the
conference.
End of it, they interrupt Ava and they go, hey, what about me? What about me? And Ava's like, what? Who is this? And Fallon leading the charge with Fatal Influence. Kind of say like, what about us? You're forgetting about us. And Ava's like, yeah, I am. Like, fuck off. So they're going to turn more heel. Maybe they're going to interfere in something next week. But yeah, we'll see. Then we go to Ricky Starks. Sorry, put a coin in the jar there. Ricky Saints. He's walking by backstage when he bumps into Ridge Holland. And I say bumps because he tries to fist bump him. But Ridge fist bumps down and says that you shouldn't be here. In NXT, and Saint says, well, you're going to get used to seeing a whole lot more of me, and walks off and then walks into Sean Spears and the Chair family. And Sean Spears says, the only thing that will be revolutionized will be me when I win this title in my match, as he walks off. So yeah, Ricky Starks didn't do a whole lot on the show, but he's here.
No, hasn't done much the last couple of weeks, but clearly just setting up until they're ready to have him go for one of the titles, you know, He can beat a Ridge Holland. He can beat maybe a Sean Spears or some of his guys. He's sort of upper mid-carders in NXT. I'd kind of prefer him just to be going back and forth with Wes Lee a bit more, who wasn't on this show. But I guess they're just setting up a bit of a rogues gallery for him moving forward. And kind of setting him up as this outsider in NXT. He's the guy who has come over from the other company, who has a lot of fanfare, and maybe that story they're going with here.
You could definitely see them queuing up a Ridge Ricky match, a Sean Spears Ricky match, especially after this. But we go to our main event with Sean Spears challenging Tony D'Angelo for his North American Championship here in NXT. Remember, Davey, the truth will ultimately prevail, but there is pain bringing it to life.
Always.
Yeah. Isn't that a catchy theme song? You just know who it is right away. You know, some people got the Glass Shatter. Some people got I'm Awesome. But his truth will ultimately prevail, but their pain is bringing it to life.
He's not wrong.
And the guitar riff hits. So it's family versus family, and there's nothing more important than family. This starts off with Sean Spears and Tony D starting to brawl with each other back and forth here. Vic Joseph on commentary starts to rib Booker T about his recent 60th birthday, and Booker T's like, you better shut the fuck up right now. Don't you talk about my 60th birthday. Sean Spears has Tony tied up in the ropes and hits a backstabber out of the corner for a near fall. He goes to grab a chair because he's the chair man, but isn't able to use it, but however does connect with a super kick, but it's only a two count from one Sean to another Sean here. However, Sean Spears now starts to attack the back here. Is this like, I was thinking, is he doing Earthquake? Is he doing Iron Sheik? No. See, that would be silly. But Davey, did you realize that the chairman has added the recliner to his set moves here? Because here he is. You see that? Look what he did there. I saw what you did, Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger, you sneaky. He has took a name of a chair that is also a name of another move, the Steiner recliner, and now added it because he is in fact the chairman. So the Steiner recliner is locked in here, and somehow Tony D does able to get to the ropes and does escape here. Sean Spears is yelling at Tony, your family is done. Your family is finished. But he's hit with a spear out of nowhere from D'Angelo for a two count. Eventually Tony drops Sean again. This is where things got a little messy because it's Izzy who is supposed to put Sean's foot on the ropes, but doesn't. I'm not quite sure what happened here, but it's a kick out. I guess Sean just decided I'm going to kick out anyways. Yeah. It was a little messy. The ref was like, I think I saw a foot on the rope, but we'll forgive that. Spears gets up, and then now the family are brawling because Rizzo attacks Izzy because of that, and everyone's fighting, and Tony – Stax is in the ring and accidentally forearms Tony to the outside, landing back first onto a chair. He gets rolled.
I really like that. We've seen, you know, people getting knocked off the apron, maybe through a table or something. But I thought this was quite unique with landing flat onto the chair. Yeah.
So it looked like Stax knew what he was doing. He looked like he was swinging for Tony there for a sec. However, Tony's rolled into the ring and he's hit with the C4 from Sean Spears, but Tony kicks out. Stax is shocked. He's like, wow, I can't believe Tony kicked out of that. Spears runs the ropes and Tony gets up to hit him with the spine buster. We've seen him finish people with this, in fact, win the title with this move, but in midair, his back spasms. He can't hit the back cracker, backstabber? No, what's his move? The spine buster. That's his move. And in midair, Sean Spears collapses onto Tony and kind of stacks him up as Tony's really selling the back in pain. 1, 2, 3. Your new North American champion, the chairman, Sean Spears.
Yeah, I think we kind of called this last week. This is the way the story seemed to be going with Sean Spears winning the title, especially with the addition of Izzy Dane to his group. Match was fine. I thought they did a good job with a couple of near falls at the end. I liked the spot with Stax and the chair. Again, it's kind of how I said before, I can't overly get excited about Sean Spears and especially a Sean Spears title run. However, I think you could have something here where this doesn't need to be a long reign and Tony could be out for a few weeks with this back injury and Stax trying to avenge this loss and avenge everything he's done to Tony could win the North American title off of Spears. And then that would be a nice dynamic when Tony D'Angelo comes back that his underboss is the champion. And it could be a way to get to that match without Stax beating Tony for the title. So a bit of a transitionary thing. And I think that could work because they've definitely been playing up the sort of, you know, Stax taking the lead when Tony's not there and a little bit of animosity between them and what led to the finish here with the the inadvertent contact and that sort of stuff. So I wonder if that's maybe the way they could go.
There's definitely a few, like we were talking about Ridge, we were talking about Ricky. Like there is like a few options you could go with different, like other people that aren't in that title. I would like Stacks to go that route. I can't say this match did a whole lot for me. I thought the finish was creative with the spine buster to like the counter, like selling the back and in midair, like lands on the guy and pins him. I've never really seen that before, but the rest of the match didn't do too, like that thing with the foot on the rope was a little weird and it was fine. Like Sean Spears, I know we said a few weeks ago, or was it even last week? Like, oh, like, you know, he looked good. He looked impressive. Here it was kind of back to kind of the same old. And Tony and Sean are not the flashiest, like, in-ring guys.
I think that's the thing. They both work better against more dynamic performers. They're good workers. They are. But I think, you know, Tony had some really fun matches with Oba. But when it's against each other, it just is a little dull.
Yeah. Yeah, I found this episode pretty dull, but it was a setup episode for like a big special next week. So I can't hold that to him because I do think next week looks pretty damn good. But this was a pretty missable episode.
I found it serviceable, but not exciting. Like they're building next week. And I think the last few weeks where they've been setting up the matches and announcing the matches have been a lot more exciting. Now we know the matches. It was just reminding us what they are for next week. Also, nothing from the mystery group this week either.
Yeah, nothing. Like no clue.
Not even a mention or a tweet or anything like that this week.
So they're done already.
It kind of feels, I mean, I imagine maybe they have something to do with one of the matches.
Next week
at Roadblock, but a little odd to not, like, they've really not followed up with these guys in a big way at all since their debut, which is peculiar.
Like, who did they attack last time? Everybody? The tag team?
Robert Stone or something?
Yeah, Josh, like, they didn't Briggs, attack. Yeah. They did
like,
the
Briggs wasn't even mad. Like, Josh Briggs and Inamura came out, and they're just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, they've completely dropped the ball at this. Unless their plan is to, like, attack Oba next week, and there's some sort of big reveal or something, but they've really like not, they purposely didn't mention them. So like maybe, but someone in the chat, Job Knobbly saying No Quarter Catch Crew's the ones they took out last week. Maybe not Briggs, but
okay. That's why
also Job Knobbly bringing up first Canadian to hold the NA title. Is that true? Is Sean Spears the first Canadian to win the North American Championship? I'm wondering about that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, what other Canadians have we had?
not many in NXT, really.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there hasn't been that many. So I guess you're right. I can open up the list right now, and I can tell you that there is, in fact, no Canadian who has ever won the North American title. So buy Canadian, support Canadian, and Sean Spears is our champion. It's true. There isn't there hasn't been a Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. North American champion. But yeah, there you go. That was NXT. That was our thoughts on this episode. Not the most exciting, but again, next week's like is a sure shot to be one of the better shows this year, especially considering some of these matches. I mean, Hardy Boys versus Fraxium already has all my attention, plus Julia versus Stephanie. Where are we going? Should we give? We kind of went through already, but like, is there anything you do think Julia will be dropping the title with these reports? You imagine?
Yes, so? I think Stephanie's winning this title. Yeah. You can then set up, maybe Jada versus Stephanie for the North American title, and Stephanie versus Jordan for the women's title. Maybe Stephanie's going to be doing a bit of double duty down the line with these two.
That is true. When you mentioned, Jada called her shot. It's like, maybe she was calling her shot for one of the titles that like would make her have to do double duty essentially. So that is something that could potentially happen at Stand and Deliver. We kind of said, but
then that's a way you can have Stephanie beat Jada for the North American title, but then Jordan's beating a weakened Stephanie for the women's title. And then you can still have that rematch down the line, maybe.
Yeah, that is definitely as long as I get to Jordan Grace versus Stephanie, I think that would be a huge Stand and Deliver match. Like two of the best women's wrestlers on the planet going face to face. Definitely a big one there. Obafemi obviously beating Moose for the NXT championship.
I would think so, yeah.
We don't necessarily think that unless they rematch it for the X Division title and there's option C or whatever. We joked about that. Hardys, we think there's two ways to go about it. If we are setting up for like a future ladder match or rematches, it would be funny if they like lost the titles to Fraxium, but at the same time, I'm not quite sure. Look, if Sean Spears, who's someone in the chat, big time Baxter in the chat, says Sean Spears is the oldest North American champion, 44 years old, then the Hardy Boys can win that developmental titles here in NXT too. All right. Book it. So
yeah, I'm going with Hardys, I think.
Roxanne versus Jordan. Jordan Grace.
Is this... I guess Jordan, I think this is Roxanne's swan song, I imagine. So
wow. That'd be pretty sad if tonight was their last time in the Performance Center. Don't know if that would be the case, but I thought she had an okay showing in the chamber. I felt like we didn't get enough of Roxanne, considering I do think she's one of the best wrestlers right now, too. And then Javon Evans, Ethan Page. Does Javon get his win back, get revenge?
I think so, yeah. I think he's got to.
Yeah, there you go. Those guys are guys that could be in the North American title picture, right? Like, could mix around with all the others. But there you go. That is our little preview there for Roadblock next week, Tuesday night in New York. Let us know if you're going. I know we have a few friends going to the show. We would love some live perspective, any notes or anything like that. We will be live 10:05 p.m. every Tuesday. We are here on Post Wrestling. So catch us there. And are we going to go live this Sunday? I know we're going to have the boys over for Revolution, but what's going to happen on SmackDown?
I'm not going live on Sunday. No, I'm not recording after a 10-hour AEW show.
No, I meant before. No, I meant before.
I thought you told me the other day you weren't.
Yeah, but then you were like, no, 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 we have to. I was like, no, we don't. Absolutely not. So now you're telling me you don't want to go live.
I don't know. I thought, well, let's talk about this.
I do not want to go live. I don't want it. Yeah.
All right. Let's
join us next Tuesday. How about that? We'll chat about some Revolution and all that stuff too, maybe on Tuesday, and some Roadblocks. So it'd be a double edition of Up Next on Tuesday night. But go to poisonrana.ca for links of everything that we do. If you do have Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, please go give us a follow. Give us a subscribe on all the podcast apps. And yeah, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us here. I hope we made it through with my rough voice and our attitude. I don't know if we got any feedback.
We've got one piece of feedback on the Facebook group from... Who have we got here? It is Cameron, who says, solid from NXT. Tag match was decent, but man, this tag team does nothing for either wrestler. Neither need the in-ring help, and it's doing nothing for their character. Stack sort of costing Tony the title makes sense. A stand and deliver match between the two doesn't need a title. Do you think Spears holds it till Mania weekend? I wonder if maybe we see Ricky Saints win the North American title at Stand and Deliver. Next week looks fantastic with lots of stakes. Like the Chamber, it feels like WWE are really putting effort into these Roadblock PLEs before Mania, giving them real stakes. Also, shout out to Davey for a really great Rewinder Raw on Monday. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the content, guys. NXT wouldn't be the same without both of you doing your post-show. Take care.
Thank you very much, Cameron. I appreciate the love. Appreciate all the love in the YouTube chat, as always. Like I said, next Tuesday, catch us live. Catch our Anora review on our Patreon, our WrestleMania X8 review on our Patreon, and Shot in the Dark on the free feed. So many shows, so many podcasts, so little time. Appreciate you being here with us and giving us your time. But yeah, for now, we're going to take off. You can follow me at The Bray D.
And you can follow me at Davey Portman.
Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And support Canadian.
Ahoy!
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.